亲爱的弟兄姊妹，主日平安，圣诞快乐。
Dear brothers and sisters, peace to you. Happy Sunday, Merry Christmas.
那我们今天我想教大家用第三种语言来说圣诞快乐，除了中文和英文以外。
Today, I want to teach everyone a third language to wish everyone Merry Christmas aside from Chinese and English.
中文我们说圣诞快乐，英文我们说 Merry Christmas.
In Chinese, we say 圣诞快乐 English, we say Merry Christmas.
那用新约的语言是用希腊文写成了，希腊文怎么说呢
？And New Testament is written in Greek, so how do you say Merry Christmas in Greek?
Kala Christoyena.
It's Kala Christoyena.
我们可以练习一下，对你身边的人
Let's
来祝福他。
With those around us to wish them Merry Christmas in Greek.
圣诞节不是关于圣诞老人的。
So Christmas is not about Santa Claus.
圣诞节是关于救主耶稣基督的。
But Christmas is about our Savior Jesus Christ.
那圣经是怎么讲到的圣诞呢
？So how does the Bible look at Christmas?
我们看马可福音，它里面完全没有提到圣诞，因为直接就跳到了耶稣的成年。
When we look at the Gospel of Mark, it actually doesn't have anything about Christmas, but jumps directly to an adult Jesus.
我们看约翰福音，里面也没有提到这个圣诞，只是提到了太初的道，从道成肉身，给讲这个圣诞。
In the Gospel of John, it also doesn't talk about Christmas, but it begins with talking about the Word and the Word made flesh.
那在约翰的启示录里面呢，他是从天启文学，从天上的属灵的大征战来去讲这个圣诞的。
And in the Revelation of John, we actually see this from an apocalyptic perspective, beginning with the battle of heaven, as seen in Revelation 12.
相比之下，马太福音和路加福音则是从人的角度让我们来看圣诞。
In comparison, the Gospel of Luke and the Gospel of Matthew looks at Christmas from a human perspective.
那路加福音呢？它偏重于是从玛利亚的角度来看圣诞。
And the Gospel of Luke writes from a perspective of Mary.
而马太福音呢，则是从约瑟的角度来去看圣诞的。
Whereas Matthew writes from a perspective of Joseph.
如果我们把救主耶稣基督的降生，这神给我们人类最大的启示，看作一个巨大的一个钻石的话
，If the birth of Jesus Christ, the greatest revelation from God to man.If we can compare it to a great diamond,
那么每一卷书它都好像那个钻石的一个剖面。
Then each book of the gospel is a distinct side of this diamond.
那让我们有机会从各个的剖面来去观看这人类当中最伟大的启示。
Allowing us to view this greatest revelation from each different side.
直到我们的心被这个启示完全的征服。
Until our hearts are fully captivated by this revelation.
那么今天呢，我们就从跟随马太，来以他的独特的视角来看救主的诞生。
So today, let us follow Matthew and view the birth of Christ from his unique perspective.
如果可以的话，请你与我一起打开圣经，翻到马太福音一章十八到二十五节。
If you're able, please turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25.
你可以使用你感到舒服的一个语言，我们一起来诵读神的话。
Let us read together the word of God using the language that you're comfortable with.
耶稣基督降生的事记在下面。
Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way.
他母亲玛利亚已经许配了约瑟，还没有迎娶，玛利亚就从圣灵怀了孕。
When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit.
她丈夫约瑟是个义人，不愿意明明的羞辱她，想要暗暗的把她休了。
And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly.
正在思念这事的时候，有主的使者向他梦中显现说：“大卫的子孙约瑟，不要怕，只管娶过你的妻子玛利亚来，因她所怀的孕是从圣灵来的。”
As he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit.
他将要生一个儿子，你要给他起名叫耶稣，因他要将自己的百姓从罪恶里救出来。
Shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.
这一切的事就是要应验主借先知所说的话。
All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet.
说必有童女怀孕，人要称她的名为以马内利。
Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel.
约瑟醒了起来，就遵着主的吩咐把妻子娶过来。
When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife.
只是没有和她同房，等她生了儿子，就给她起名叫耶稣。
But he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus.
这是神的话。
This is the word of the Lord.
那在几天前呢，我的一个朋友，她刚刚生下了一个女婴。
A few days ago, my friend just gave birth to a baby girl.
那她就在她的朋友圈分享了她整个的生产的过程。
She was sharing in our friend group the entire process of pregnancy.
她讲到她在生产前她是如何的头晕、腰痛、水肿、各种的不适。
And before giving birth, she was talking about how she had these headaches, backaches, and swelling and other ailments.
她也讲到整个生产的过程却异常的顺利。
And she was mentioning that the actual process of giving birth was actually really smooth.
而且她也讲分享了她这个孩子出生以后她的喜悦，包括这个新生女孩的她的身高、体重、漂不漂亮。
And she also shared her joy of having this newborn child with us, including the child's height, weight, whether she was pretty or not.
当然是很漂亮。
Of course, she's very pretty.
当然，她可能还有一个必可少的环节，就是要拍各种的照片，而且还要跟那个婴孩做那个角膜。
And of course, you know, what we cannot miss is, you know, of course, pictures for memory and as well as footprints for memory.
那这是一个非常典型的一个现代人对于一个孩子的出生的一个技术。
And this is a typical way that people will describe a child being born.
如果我们带着这样的期待来读圣经，来读耶稣的诞生的话，
And if we bring this kind of expectation to come to read the Bible and to read about Jesus' birth,
大概你会很失望，也觉得很无聊。
We'll probably be disappointed and bored.
因为你会发现马太向我们展示的关于救主基督降生的事情跟你的期待完全不一样。
Because we find that what Matthew writes about the coming of the Savior Lord is drastically different than what we expect.
他甚至都没有描写耶稣具体是怎么诞生的。
It doesn't even talk about how Jesus was actually born.
那你说了是不是在第二章？
So is this in chapter 2?
如果你看第二章的话，里面也是完全没有提到耶稣具体是怎么诞生的。
If you look in Matthew chapter 2, you see that there is no mentioning of the birth of Jesus either.
他只是说了，降生以后发生了三件事情，博士的参拜、逃往埃及以及返回拿撒勒。
But it only talks about three events that occurred after his birth, which is the visitation of the wise men, the flight to Egypt, and the return to Nazareth.
也就是说在马太福音当中其实直接写到耶稣降生的经文其实只有半节经文。
So then when we look in the Gospel of Matthew, really only half a verse talk about the birth of Christ directly.
就是二章一节前半节。
And that's in chapter 2 verse 1, the first half of verse 1.
当希律王的时候耶稣生在伯利恒，而且这半节经文还是作为一个重句来去写的。
And that it's now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. And this clause is not even a main clause, it's a supporting clause.
我们不仅要问马太为什么这样给我们展现这么重要的一个诞生的一个故事。
So what we have to ask, so why does Matthew treat such an important birth in this manner?
为什么马太不关心玛利亚十月怀胎辛不辛苦，是不是顺产，新生的耶稣他长得漂不漂亮，他有多高，有多重。
You know, does Matthew not care about, you know, Mary's pregnancy process, whether it was smooth, whether the giving birth process was smooth, what the newborn baby Jesus looked like, his height, his weight, whether he was good looking or not?
马太到底想让我们关注什么？
So what did Matthew want us to focus on?
有人说耶稣。
The answer some people might say is Jesus.
当然你这种答案是让人无法辩驳的。
Of course, you know, this is a Sunday school answer.
因为，但是这个并不真正的帮助你透过圣经来认识耶稣。
But this emphasizes the point that you are learning about Jesus through the scriptures.
也有人说是玛利亚。
Some say, oh, it's Mary.
但是玛利亚在马太福音当中并不是很重要。
But Mary in the Gospel of Matthew is actually not as significant.
有人说是天使。
Some people might say angels.
但是天使不过是执行神命令的使者。
But angels are merely messengers that carry out God's mission.
那你们说是谁？
So, you know, who is it?
沉默，我听到了，约瑟。
Joseph.
是的，这是马太想要我们看圣诞的一个角度。
So Matthew wants us, the readers, to view Christmas from the perspective of Joseph.
其实约瑟呢，在整个圣诞的故事通常都是被人忽略的。
So in the story of Christmas, Joseph is typically ignored.
他经常成为配角中的配角，背景当中的背景。
He's typically viewed as the supporting character of the supporting character. He's always in the background.
因为他没有直接的参与，而且他也不应该参与。
Because he does not participate in the events of Christmas. In fact, he cannot participate.
但是马太呢，却借着约瑟这个独特的角度，让我们来看这个圣诞。
However, Matthew, you know, through Joseph, gave us a very, very unique perspective to see Christmas.
那故事一开始这样说，耶稣基督降生的事记在下面。
So Matthew wrote this, Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way.
接下来就是一系列介绍主降生的故事。
And after that, he introduces a series of events surrounding the birth of the Lord.
我们翻到马太福音的第一章第一节。
Let's turn to Matthew 1:1.
亚伯拉罕的后裔，大卫的子孙，耶稣基督的家谱。
It says, the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham.
这两节经文看似没有关系，其实这两节有很重要的关系。
So these two verses, seemingly unrelated, they're actually commingled.
因为在一章十八节，这里面讲到的降生跟一章一节他提到的家谱，其实在圣经里面是用的同一个词。
Because in verse 18, the term for birth is actually the same term as a term for genealogy in verse 1.
他用的词是 Genesis.
The term is Genesis.
如果你看英文圣经的话，你知道 Genesis 是说的什么？
If you look at the English Bible, you would know Genesis as
是什么呀？创世纪是吗？
It's,
其实这个词 Genesis. 它是有开头有起初，也有出生的一个意思。
So this term can have the connotation of originating or beginning, also carry the meaning of birth.
也就是说，不管是一章的一到十七节，还是一章的一到十八节，一直到第二章，其实它是讲的同一件事情。
So it tells us that, you know, whether it's from Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 to 17, or from verses 8 up to chapter 2, verse 23, it's actually talking about the same thing.
一个是用家谱的形式来讲的，一个是用故事的形式来讲的。
On the one hand, we look at it from a perspective of the genealogy, and on the other hand, we look at it from the perspective of stories.
但是它的内容却是完全一致，是和谐统一的。
But the content is the same. They work in unison.
那在马太福音，他这个家谱中，他是这样说，他说，雅各生约瑟，就是玛利亚的丈夫，那称为基督的耶稣是从玛利亚生的。
So in the genealogy, it says, there's Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called Christ.
我们知道这个马太福音当中的家谱啊，这个其实是约瑟的家谱。
We have to understand that this genealogy that's mentioned in Matthew, it's actually the genealogy of Joseph.
那耶稣基督呢，他是借着他的母亲玛利亚进入了这个家谱。
And Jesus, through his mother, Mary, entered into Joseph's genealogy.
所以说尽管约瑟跟耶稣没有血缘上的关系。
So even though Jesus is not related to Joseph by blood.
但是在法律上约瑟却是耶稣的父亲。
But by law, Joseph is indeed Jesus' father.
这样的话耶稣就是在法律上他是他的养子，是合情合理的，可以成为亚伯拉罕的后裔，大卫的子孙，来合法的继承大卫的王位。
So then Jesus by law is the adopted son of Joseph, and thus he is also the son of Abraham and the son of David, rightfully inheriting the throne of David.
我们知道中国人是特别强调血缘的。
So we know the Chinese people, we emphasize heritage a lot.
但不是所有的民族都是这样子的。
But not every nationality and tribe emphasizes this.
其实收养在当时是非常普遍的。
And actually, you know, adoption is very common in those times.
如果你看当时同时的那个罗马帝国，其实很多的罗马皇帝不是通过血亲，而是通过收养来去继承下一任的皇帝的。
So if we look at the Romans at the time, a lot of the Roman emperors, they actually didn't have their heirs by blood, but they adopted.
如果这样说的话，我们看到其实约瑟在这个圣诞当中，他的角色不是可有可无的，而是必不可少的。
So then we see that, you know, in the story of Christmas, Joseph is not actually inconsequential, but he is integral.
那么约瑟是如何成为耶稣的养父，来去履行他的神圣的使命的呢？
So then how did Joseph become the adopted father of Jesus to fulfill his mission?
经文这样说，他母亲玛利亚已经许配了约瑟，还没有迎娶，玛利亚就从圣灵怀了孕。
The passage tells us when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit.
那这个经文给我们交代了整个故事的一个背景。
And this passage provided the background for the whole story.
也就是说，耶稣的母亲玛利亚跟约瑟已经订婚，只是尚未完婚。但是呢，玛利亚发现她已经怀孕了。
And it's that Mary, the mother of Jesus, is engaged to Joseph, but they have not yet been married. However, Mary found that she was pregnant.
这个可能对我们现代人来说有点难以理解。
For us contemporaries, we might have a hard time understanding this.
因为我们需要稍微了解一下犹太人的他的一个婚礼的制度。
And we need to understand the marriage tradition of the Jews at the time.
那在当时一个完整的婚礼有两个部分。
So at the time, a complete marriage has two parts.
一个是订婚。
One is engagement.
一个是实际的那个婚礼。
And the second part is the actual wedding.
当男女双方如果只要是订婚，就意味着这两个人已经在法律上成为夫妻了。
But once a man and a woman are engaged, that by law, they are actually treated as husband and wife.
我们其实可以从圣经上可以看出来，因为他已经称玛利亚说他的丈夫，称玛利亚说她的妻子，称约瑟说她的丈夫。
And we actually see this in the passage because it addresses Joseph as her husband and addresses Mary as your wife.
也就是说，在当时啊，他的这个订婚可能比我们现在的订婚其实是更加严格的。
So then we might see that how they view engagement in the past is more significant than how we might view it contemporarily.
如果这订婚的两个人呢，他没有选择结婚，那他们需要通过这个非常正式的离婚手续的。
And if two are engaged at those times but decide to not get married, then they actually need to go through the formal process of divorce.
那这个正式的婚礼通常，跟这个订婚呢中间的时间大概是有一年或者是少于一年。
And typically between the engagement and the wedding ceremony, it's about a year or a little less than a year.
那在这个等待期间呢，双方都要各自的准备，而且要保持贞洁。
And during this time, the two parties will prepare themselves and keep themselves pure.
直到丈夫把这个妻子接回家里，然后举行这个婚礼，这样的话，这个才叫完婚。
Until the husband brings the wife home and complete the wedding ceremony, this is a complete marriage.
那玛利亚的怀孕呢，应当就是发生在这个等待的时间。
And Mary's pregnancy likely occurred during this engagement period.
但是圣经说，这个玛利亚的怀孕不是男女发生关系的这种自然怀孕，而是完全没有男人介入，而是有圣灵直接的介入的一种超然的怀孕。
However, Mary's pregnancy, the Bible tells us, is not a natural pregnancy that resulted from a man and a woman coming together.Rather, it is a supernatural pregnancy through the intervention of the Holy Spirit, where there is no male involvement.
考虑到双方他们都是保持各自的贞洁，那这个怀孕其实对双方都产生很大的一个震撼。
Considering that both Joseph and Mary are keeping themselves pure, this pregnancy undoubtedly caused great shock to both.
那对于玛利亚，路加福音有一个交代，我不再说了。
As for Mary, the Gospel of Luke describes her reaction in more details that we will not go into today.
我们来看一下对这个约瑟的冲击。
But let us look at Joseph's reaction.
他自己未过门的妻子竟然怀孕了，他作为丈夫，他会怎么想呢？他又该怎么做呢？
Joseph, as the husband, what would he do? Because his engaged wife, not married yet, is actually pregnant.
那在约瑟看来说，
From Joseph's perspective,
这个孩子肯定不是他的。
This child is certainly not his.
一定是别的男人的。
Then it must be another man's.
一定是玛利亚不忠。
Signifying that Mary was, Mary's infidelity.
我们不太清楚玛利亚究竟有没有跟约瑟解释说，这个天使跟他说话，因为天使说圣灵要降在你身上，至高的能力要荫庇你，因为你所要生的圣者必称为神的儿子。
It's not clear whether Mary explained the events of the angel's visitation to Joseph when the angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child will be born, to be born will be called holy, the Son of God.
我们想啊，即使玛利亚跟约瑟讲这个故事，你觉得约瑟会信吗？
And let us consider this. Even if Mary shared with Joseph, would he believe it?
我们知道啊，在古代社会是一个荣辱感极强的一个社会。
We know that in that culture, it is a very heavily, it's a shame-based culture.
当一个未婚的女子这样先孕，这不仅给玛利亚本人，还有玛利亚的家庭带来很大的羞耻，也给约瑟，还有约瑟的家族带来很大的羞耻。
So this event where an engaged wife becomes pregnant,Not only will this bring shame upon Mary and her family, but will also bring shame upon Joseph and his family.
转眼间，这个喜事变成了丑闻，欢乐变成了悲哀。
So in a moment, this good news has become a scandal, and the joy has turned into a sorrow.
那么根据旧约的律法，一个不忠的妻子要面对公众的审判。
So according to Old Testament laws, a wife who commits adultery needs to face public judgment.
那这个结果轻是轻则被羞，重则被众人用石头打死。
If it is a light offense, then the person is publicly divorced. But if it's a serious offense, then this person is to be stoned in public.
马太却告诉我们说，她的丈夫约瑟是个义人，不愿意明明的羞辱她，想要暗暗的把她休了。
But Matthew tells us that her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly.
这里面说约瑟是个义人。
So it says that Joseph was a just man.
义人在旧约说是一个人是义人，说他什么呢？是说他遵守神的约，遵守神的律法。
In the Old Testament, when you call someone just, that means that they follow God's covenant and His laws.
一方面呢，他的义体现在他会按照律法的要求要休掉他不忠的妻子，至少在他眼里看是这样子的。
On one hand, his righteousness called for him to follow the law and to divorce his wife. At least in his mind, that's what he should do.
如果他明知道妻子不忠，却执意将她娶回家，就相当于他公开的承认是说，在等待的期间，他跟他的妻子通奸了。
If he knew that his wife committed adultery, yet still married her, then it's as if he openly admitted that they committed adultery together.
那他就会面对众人的指责，而且也会跟他的双方的家族带来羞耻。
And then he will face public accusations and bring shame upon his family.
是的，你没有听错。即便是订了婚还没有完婚，他们在一起的话也是被算作奸淫的。
Yes, you heard that correctly. So even if they were engaged, if they were to come together before marriage, that is still considered adultery.
那休掉不忠的妻子其实是非常符合律法和传统的。
And to divorce an adulterous wife actually fits according to the Jewish law and tradition.
另一方面呢，约瑟的义体现在他在律法许可的范围内呢，他不是刻意的加大，而是尽量的减少对玛利亚的羞耻，来尽量保全他和他的家人。
On the other hand, his righteousness called for him to operate within the bounds of the law, and he didn't seek to increase it, but he sought to minimize Mary's shame and the shame to her family as well.
那他当时所能想到的最仁至义尽的办法就是什么呢？
So the most appropriate action he could think of at that time was
暗暗的把他休掉，
to quietly divorce her.
我们想一想，约瑟他其实是经历了一个背叛，很严重的背叛。
Let us consider this. Joseph actually experienced betrayal, a very serious betrayal.
但是他能够克制自己的愤怒。
However, he was able to control his anger.
他不是通过这个法律加大惩罚对方的，而是在法律的许可下来对他施以怜悯。
And instead of seeking to increase Mary's weight of punishment under the law, he sought to show mercy within the bounds of the law.
这就是约瑟的义了。
And this is Joseph's righteousness.
我们想一下，其实当时约瑟和玛利亚的年龄并不大。
Let's consider Joseph and Mary were actually very young at the time.
约瑟大概也就是20岁、30岁左右。
Joseph was likely around 20 or 30 years old.
玛利亚可能更年轻，可能十几岁、二十岁。
Mary was probably younger, probably in her teens up to her 20s.
那他们在贞洁的方面，其实是我们年轻人的一个榜样。
And in their purity, they have actually set an example for younger Christians such as ourselves.
特别是在我们生活的这个环境当中，这个世界的诱惑，还有这种平辈的压力。
Especially in our current culture, where we face the world's temptations and pressure from our peers.
那在婚姻之前呢，也愿我们的年轻的弟兄姊妹啊，能够保守自己，来预备自己，来再建立主内讨神喜悦的婚姻。
And may our younger brothers and sisters also keep ourselves safe, keep ourselves pure for the sake of our future spouse, and to establish our marriages in the Lord.
此外呢，我们看这个年轻的约瑟，他尽管他自己经历了这么的一个背叛，但是他依然展现出来他的义。
In addition, we see that young Joseph, in the face of serious betrayal, still exemplified his righteousness.
这其实也是给了我们一个榜样。
And this actually also set an example for us.
人在亲密的关系当中，特别是像配偶之间这么亲密的关系，遭遇背叛的时候，其实是人很容易生出愤怒和报复的。
When a person experiences betrayal, particularly with someone that's very close to you, it's easy to resort to wrath and to vengeance.
通常是我们付出的越多，我们想要报复的就越重。
Typically, when we give more of ourselves, the more we want revenge and we want to get back at the other person.
而且在经历背叛的人，很容易被这个愤怒控制。来尽量的来去打击报复对方，而且让对方极度的难堪。
And those who have been betrayed can easily be controlled by anger, wanting to exact revenge and bring shame upon the other person.
其实你如果打开报纸或者打开新闻，你每天看到的不都是这些吗？
If you open the news, open the newspapers, you know, you see, don't you see this all the time?
看好莱坞明星 Ben Affleck 跟他的前妻 Jennifer Garner, 你会看到他们之间的这种骂战。
You can see, you know, Ben Affleck and ex-wife Jennifer Garner, they're openly ripping each other.
我在准备讲稿的时候又发生另外一件事情。
And as I was preparing, another event happened.
在华人界很有名的一个优质的偶像王力宏。
Another example is Chinese singer, very famous singer, Lin Hong Wang.
我们看到他跟前妻先是离婚，然后有他的前妻爆出他的出轨、嫖娼、家暴，所有的东西公布于众。
We saw that. They divorced, and his ex-wife came out with, you know, him cheating, soliciting prostitutes, domestic abuse.
也就是说，在一个关系当中，当问题出现的时候，一方呢，他不愿意承认，也不愿意认罪，来去面对他的问题。
So when these issues came up, one side usually lacks the seriousness to admit guilt and to repent.
而另一方呢，你会发现他也不愿意去饶恕。
And the other side struggles to forgive.
你会看到为什么好像一个非常光鲜亮丽的一个家庭，为什么到最后闹的都是一地鸡毛？
You might see that, you know, a family that looks so perfect on the outside, you know, a lot of times results in a huge mess.
我想这是福音可以来帮助我们来去解决的。
You know, I believe that as we look at the gospel, this can help us to understand.
我们接下来来往下面看。
Let's take a look at the next point.
就是神的使者向约瑟显现。
Is that the God's messenger appearing to Joseph?
就是约瑟正思念这事的时候，有主的使者向他梦中显现。
And it says this, but as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream.
说大卫的子孙约瑟不要怕，只管娶过你的妻子玛利亚来，因她所怀的孕是从圣灵来的。
Saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit.
那就在约瑟他在想如何以义的方式来去处理妻子的不忠时，那主的使者就在梦中向他显现了。
So as Joseph was pondering how to justly resolve his wife's infidelity, the Lord's messenger appeared to him in a dream.
异梦其实是神跟人沟通的一种方式。
Dreams and visions is one way that God communicates with people.
我们熟悉圣经的话，我们可能知道很有名的几个，像雅各的天梯的梦，尼布甲尼撒王他的大象，还有大石的梦。
Some of the dreams in the Bible we might be familiar with, Jacob's dream in Genesis 28 of the ladder to heaven, and the dreams of Nebuchadnezzar of the image and the rock.
我们也经常听到一些在穆斯林地区服侍的宣教士，他们会跟我们分享一些穆斯林他们信耶稣很多是通过这个梦来认识耶稣的。
We also often hear from missionaries that serve Muslim regions of how Muslims have come to know Jesus through dreams.
那在这个梦中，天使对约瑟说什么呢？
So in this dream, what did the angel say to Joseph?
他首先他这样称呼，他说大卫的子孙。
So he first called Joseph son of David.
这是啊，神的使者对约瑟的特别的称呼。
And this is a special designation used by God's messenger.
这个是将这个约瑟其实也是放在耶稣的家谱当中的。
And this placed Joseph within the genealogy of Jesus.
也是预示着他跟耶稣要有一个非常不一样的关系。
And points to a very unique relationship between Joseph and Jesus.
而且他对他说不要怕。
And then he says, "Do not fear."
不要怕，就是。人在遇到神的时候，其实害怕是最直接的反应。
You know, he says, "Do not fear," because fear is the most direct response when people meet God.
而且不要怕，其实也是天使对约瑟的鼓励，鼓励他来付上代价，来去遵行神的吩咐。
And do not fear is actually also the angel's encouragement to Joseph, encouraging him to pay the cost to follow God's command.
因为遵守神的命令是要付上代价的。
You know, what is this command that requires great cost?
这里面就是说要把他认为的这个妻子玛利亚要娶过来。
And it's to take his betrothed Mary as his wife.
那而且呢，他也解释了原因，说他所怀的胎是从圣灵来的。
And the angel also provided the reason that her pregnancy is from the Holy Spirit.
换句话说，玛利亚怀孕不是因为她的不忠。
In other words, Mary's pregnancy was not due to her infidelity,
而是因为她蒙受了神特别的恩典，她没有跟男人发生关系，而是直接从圣灵受孕。
But because she has received God's special grace, there was no earthly means, but is a pregnancy directly from the Holy Spirit.
约瑟如果单从理性的推理，他没有办法接受玛利亚的怀孕。
So Joseph, through his natural reasoning, he was not able to accept Mary's pregnancy.
他单靠自己的意，也没有办法处理玛利亚的怀孕。
And by his own righteousness, he was not able to resolve Mary's pregnancy.
这需要神的亲自的介入。
This needed God's own divine intervention.
就是神使者的显现。
And through his messenger appearing to him.
因为唯有此，约瑟才能超越自己的理性，接受神的启示。
It's only through this that Joseph is able to go beyond his own reasoning to receive God's revelation.
超越他自己的意来领受跟耶稣的这个特别的关系。
Going beyond his own righteousness to receive a special relationship with Jesus.
而且天使又接着预言说，他要生一个儿子，你要给他起名叫耶稣，因他要将自己的百姓从罪恶中救出来。
And the angel then foretold she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.
在2003年出品的一个电影叫做《木马屠城记》。
There's a miniseries in 2003 called Helen of Troy.
那当中的第一个镜头就是一个奔跑的小女孩，她在不停地喊说，杀死她，杀死她，杀死她。
And the first scene of that miniseries is of a little girl running and shouting, kill him, kill him, kill him.
这个非常令当时守在这个女孩她的母亲就是 要生产的，这让所有的人都非常的震惊。
This shocked everyone that was waiting by the little girl's mother's side, who her mother was about to give birth.
因为没有人知道要出生的是一个男孩，是一个女孩，她就说要杀死她。她是用的男的她。
Because no one knew, you know, whether the mom was going to give birth to a son or a daughter, but this little girl was already saying, you know, kill him as a son, a boy.
天使在这的预言也更是如此，他不仅知道玛利亚腹中的是一个男婴，而且吩咐约瑟来给这个男婴命名为耶稣，并且还指出这个男婴将来的使命。
And the angel's prophecy is similar, but more than that, not only did he know that a child in Mary's womb was a boy, but also instructed Joseph to name the boy Jesus and pointed out his mission in the future.
那天使让约瑟来给这个要生的这个婴孩命名是什么意思呢？
And so what does it mean that the angel allowed Joseph to name the child?
这是表示要让他来做这个耶稣的这个养父。
And this indicated that it is accepted. It has been accepted for Joseph to be the adopted father of Jesus.
因为只有父母才有这个权利给这个孩子来去命名。
Because only the parents have the right to name the child.
那在路加福音我们里面我们看到的是天使让玛利亚给这个孩子取名叫耶稣。
In the Gospel of Luke, we see that the angel instructed Mary to call the child Jesus.
那在马太福音我们看到是天使告诉约瑟要给这个孩子取名叫耶稣。
But in the Gospel of Matthew, the angel tells Joseph.
不管是养父还是他的生母，他们都是来遵照神的旨意来给这个孩子命名的。
So whether it's the adopted father Joseph or the birth mother Mary, they're merely following God's will in naming the child.
而真正给这个孩子命名的其实是耶稣的真正的父亲。
Well, the one who actually is named this child is Jesus's true father, God himself.
就是神他自己。
It's God himself.
那耶稣什么意思呢？我们平常说的非常多。
So the name Jesus, what does it mean?
耶稣，耶稣啊，他是在希伯来文当中就是约书亚。
Jesus in Hebrew is actually the same as Joshua.
意思就是耶华拯救。
Meaning Jehovah saves.
那耶稣在这个名字呢，在一世纪巴勒斯坦地区其实是一个非常普通的一个犹太人的名字。
And this name Jesus is actually a common Jewish name in the first century Palestine.
如果你有西裔的朋友，你会发现他们人当中很多人都叫耶稣。
If you have friends from the New Testament, you'll find a lot of them are named Jesus.
就是墨西哥人。
In Mexico, sorry. If you have a lot of Mexican friends, you'll find that they're named Jesus. Jesus.
那这里呢，比较不常见的不是说他的名字，而是下面天使要说的话。
And what is uncommon is the additional explanation that the angel provided for this name.
因他要将自己的百姓从罪恶里救出来。
It is that for he will save his people from their sins.
这个他是指谁？
And this him, who is it referring to?
我们今天其实很多的基督徒父母也会给自己的孩子命名，比方说叫大卫、彼得、约书亚。
And many Christian parents today will name their childs with biblical names like David, Peter, Joshua, etc.
因为父母是期待孩子可以长大以后可以效法这些圣经的属灵的伟人。
Because the parents hope that their children will grow to follow the example of these spiritual saints.
但是这里却很不一样。
However, this instance here is very different.
这里面他要跟他命名耶稣，不是说让他可以效法旧约当中的约书亚。
Here,You know, this child being named Jesus is not so that he could follow the example of Joshua.
因为在旧约当中有其实有很多约书亚，有两个是很有名的。
In the Old Testament, there were a lot of Joshuas, and two were very famous.
一个就是摩西的接班人，领以色列进入迦南地的约书亚。
First is the successor of Moses, the one who led the Israelites into the land of Canaan.
另外一个就是索罗巴伯时期带以色列归回的一个祭司，叫约书亚。
And the other is during the time of Zerubbabel, who was a priest and led the Israelites to return.
尽管呢，这两个约书亚都被神大大的使用。
Even though these two Joshuas were used greatly in history,
影响了他们当时的一代人。
And it affected their own generation.
但是这里面
，However,
这里面说他说的是谁呢
？When it says he, who is he referring to？
因为耶稣的名字是耶华拯救，我们可能直接想，哦，他是指耶和华，但是这里面他其实指的耶稣。
And when we look at Jesus' name as it means Jehovah saves, we usually think that it's Jehovah who is going to save his people. But actually, does he refers to Jesus himself?
就是耶稣他要亲自将自己的百姓从罪恶当中救出来。
That Jesus, he himself will save his people from their sins.
他说他的百姓，我们想一下，一个婴孩还没有出生的婴孩，他就说他要有他自己的百姓，这不是一个简单的婴孩。
It says that it's his people, and we consider that this child has not been born yet, and yet he already has his own people. This is not any child.
也就是说，这里面耶稣的使命是只有神才能做的使命。
And it signifies that this task is something that can only be accomplished by God.
因为天使这里坚持说这是耶稣的使命。
Because the angel insisted that this is Jesus' mission.
这里面其实也是蕴含了耶稣他的神性。
And this also implied the divinity of Jesus.
因为耶稣他要完成唯有神才能做的使命，就是将他的百姓从罪恶当中救出来。
Because Jesus is going to complete that which only God can do, and that's to save his people from their sins.
我们想到当时犹太人的处境。
Let's consider the difficult situation that the Jews were in at the time.
因为他们在政治上是罗马帝国的殖民地，而且又以东人大希律作王统治他们，同时在宗教上也是百废待兴。
Because politically, they were a Roman colony, and they were ruled by King Herod of the Edomites, and at the same time, their religion was in complete shambles.
那犹太人他当时所期待的王，期待的救主弥赛亚，就是一个政治上的王，一个军事上的武军，一个宗教上的改革家。
So the Jews, they were hoping for the Savior Messiah as a political king, a military general, and a religious reformer.
要救他们脱离外邦人的统治，实现民族的崛起，宗教的复兴。
And they hope for the Savior to save them from foreign rule, reestablish their culture, and bring revival to their religion.
我们想想，每一个时代的人想的其实都差不多。
And as you think about this, you know, every generation kind of wishes for the same thing.
也就是说，百姓这样想当然是无可厚非的。
You know, as people, these expectations are all but natural.
但是不要忘了。就是说人的最根源的问题最大的问题不是政治上的不是军事上的甚至不是宗教上的
But we cannot forget that the source of our problems is not political confusion, it's not military oppression, and it's not even religious apathy.
而是人心里面的罪
But it's the sin in people's hearts.
是人与神的隔离
It's man separated from God.
是人不敬畏神
It's man refusing to revere God.
我们通常寻求的拯救是个人的困境、危险、疾病、灾难，甚至从死亡当中拯救出来。
The rescue that we often seek usually relates to personal difficulties, to danger, disease, disaster, even from death.
这些其实都很重要。
Well, these are important.
我们知道前段时间就发生了，中部又发生了飓风，有很多人死亡。
We know that in the Midwest, and there were just tornadoes that occurred, and you know, maybe many people passed away.
但是比这些更重要的是罪的问题。
However, compared to all these things, more important is the problem of sin.
因为罪让人与神隔离。
Because sin blocked people from God.
因为罪让神掩面不看我们。
Because sin prevents him from looking upon us.
所以说人最大的问题是需要对付罪的问题。
And so our biggest problem is the problem of sin.
因为这个罪是让我们受着这个辖制，受奴役。
Because the sin has enslaved us.
让我们没有办法挣脱。
So that we may not escape from it.
那耶稣他来做的工作就是担当我们的罪，来处理我们罪的问题。
So that Jesus' mission is to carry our sin and the punishment of our sin.
他担当我们的罪是为了让我们称义。
He carried our sin so that we may be called righteous.
不仅如此，他还赐给我们脱离罪胜过罪的能力叫我们成圣
And not only that, he also grants us the power to separate from and to overcome sin.
我们通常讲第一个部分但是却很少提第二个部分
We often talk about the first part, but we don't really talk about the second part of it.
如果福音只是让我们的罪被赦免
If the gospel only forgives our sins,
却没有让我们能力远离罪脱离罪的捆绑
but doesn't give us the power to separate and to overcome to get away from sin.
我们怎么说耶稣要做的是把他的百姓从罪恶当中拯救出来的呢
you know, How can we call Jesus' work as saving his people from sin?
而耶稣的拯救的方式也是令人吃惊的
And the way that Jesus saves is also very shocking.
因为他选择了谦卑他降世为人从神降为人
Because he chose humility coming to earth as man.
他选择了牺牲走向十字架
He chose sacrifice taking the path of the cross.
你会发现这是完全不同于我们人类的各种各样的大救星的。
This is drastically different than what we would expect from a great savior.
你会看到人类的这种救星，他们到最后都会说自己是神。
We typically see that those who you know, consider as saviors, they'll usually proclaim themselves as God.
而且他要别人为他牺牲。
And expect others to sacrifice for them.
但是真正的神却是成为了人。
But the true God in humility became man.
而且愿意为我们人死在十字架上。
He was willing to sacrifice himself to save us through going to the cross.
来拯救我们脱离罪恶。
To save man from sin.
而这一切的发生都是要应验主借先知以赛亚所说的话。
And all these things occurred in order to fulfill what the Lord prophesied through the prophet Isaiah.
必有童女怀孕生子，人要称他的名为以马内利。
Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel.
那玛利亚的怀孕不是一个突发的事件，而是神早就借着先知预言，在时候满足的时候发生的。
Mary's pregnancy was not a sudden miracle, but rather one that the Lord has foretold through the prophets and now fulfilled.
那在旧约当中，其实我们看到很多不孕的妇女啊。
In the Old Testament, there were a lot of infertile women.
我们看到了撒拉、利百加、拉结、哈娜。
We see, you know, women like Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, Hannah.
那这些不孕的妇女，我们看到她们的不孕，这个其实是一种羞耻。
This infertility was actually a form of humility.
但是神介入，她们就生了儿子，而且她们的儿子在各自的时代扮演了极其重要的角色。
But through God's intervention, they were able to bear sons, and their sons were pivotal in their own generations.
不仅拯救了父母的这种他们的羞耻，
Not only did they rescue their families from shame,
他们的民族，他们的国家，
also rescue their tribes and nation.
而玛利亚更是有圣灵的降临，她受至高者能力的荫庇，童女怀孕。
And all the more with Mary, whom the Holy Spirit came upon, overshadowed, and was covered with the power of the Most High, and the virgin conceived.
那玛利亚可以说她超越了旧约一切的女子。
And we can say that Mary surpassed all of these Old Testament women.
因为玛利亚的儿子不只是要拯救她这一代人，她要拯救历世历代的人。
Because Mary's son impacted not only his generation, but every generation.
不仅要拯救他自己的家庭，他的民族，他的国家。
Not only was he to bring rescue to his family, tribe, and nation,
而是要拯救万民、万族、万国，包括那些敌对他、恨他的人。
But to rescue all peoples, tribes, and nations, even those who hate him and those who are his enemies.
耶稣还有另外一个名字，就是以马内利。
Jesus has another name, that's Emmanuel.
这个名字在希伯来文当中是神与我们同在的意思。
This name in Hebrew means God with us.
那这个名字其实是出现在以赛亚书七到九章。
And his name appeared in Isaiah 7 to 9.
那在这里面他预言当以马内利来的时候他要做几件事情。
And in these passages it prophesied that Emmanuel will do a couple things when he comes.
打败他的敌人。
He will defeat his enemies.
出现在外邦的加利利
He will appear in the foreign land of Galilee
成为死荫之地之人的大光
He will become a light for those who walk in darkness
其实我们看到耶稣他来的就是打败这个罪打败死这个敌人
And we see that when Jesus comes he defeats sin he defeats death this enemy
我们知道耶稣他出现在了加利利他不仅是被称为这个拿撒勒人而且在那里开始他的事工
And we know that Jesuscame from the land of Galilee. He was called a Nazareth, and you know, he began his ministry there.
而且他成为很多在死荫之地的人的，让他们看到了光明。
And he also became a light for those who were walking in darkness.
而且呢，他的名还被称为奇妙的测试、全能的神、永在的父、和平的君。
And his name is also called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
今天我们的诗班唱的那个亨德尔的那个神句里面其实就是唱的这个经文。
And today, what the choir is saying about is actually this passage.
那玛利亚她腹中所怀的这个孕呢不是说她以前不存在现在才出现的一个新人。
And the one that Mary carried in her womb was not a new person that didn't exist before.
她是永恒神的儿子以她的子宫作为宝座的。
But it's rather the eternal son of God,using a Mary's womb as his throne.
他要这个孩子要带来神的掌权神的拯救神的同在
And bringing through this child God's sovereignty, God's salvation, God's presence.
这是圣诞的意义
And this is the meaning of Christmas.
这是神给我们所能给的最大的启示
And this is the greatest revelation that God has given to us.
我们接着来看圣经
And then let's read together.
约瑟醒了起来就遵着主的使者吩咐把妻子娶过来只是没有和他同房等他生了儿子他就给他取名叫耶稣
When Joseph woke from his sleep he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him he took his wife but knew her not until she had given birth to a son and he called his name Jesus
那当约瑟从这个异梦当中醒来他就相信了他也顺服了
And after Joseph awoke from his dream he believed and obeyed
他就完全遵照主的吩咐把妻子娶过来完成了婚礼
Following the commands of the Lord's messenger, he married his wife and completed the marriage.
而且也照着主的吩咐给他取名耶稣。
And he also, according to God's command, called his name Jesus.
也就是说，我们这里面看到这个约瑟是一个已经不再一样的一个约瑟。
And so the Joseph that we see here is not the same Joseph as before.
他没有以前的纠结挣扎，而是完全的相信，完全的顺服。
He is no longer conflicted, but he fully believed and obeyed.
他虽然无言也无语，但是他的行动却胜过千言万语。
Even though he did not say a single word here, his actions far exceeded 1,000 words.
而这一切的发生，不是因为约瑟他自己的意，而是主使者的启示。
And all of this happened not because of Joseph's own righteousness, but because of the revelation from the Lord's messenger.
也不是约瑟他去遵守这个旧约的律法，而是他有带着行动的这个信心，完全接受神的启示。
And it's also not because Joseph followed the law, but rather because he acted in faith and believed.
那约瑟如果他是靠着自己的义，如果他是靠着遵行的律法，也许他会被称为义人，但是他会休掉玛利亚，他跟耶稣也就没有关系了。
If Joseph followed his own righteousness and acted according to the law, he probably still would have been called just, but he would have divorced Mary and would have lost this privilege of being in a unique, special relationship with Jesus.
但是神的恩典主动地临到了他。
But God's grace came upon him.
而他呢，也选择超越了自己的义，他选择了信，选择了顺服。
And allowing him to choose a righteousness that exceeds himself, he chose faith and obedience.
这让他原来跟神完全没有关系的，反而成了耶稣的家人。
So that before, when he was not related to God at all, now he can become Jesus' family.
从这个角度来看，其实约瑟的信心一点都不比玛利亚小。
And from this perspective, we can see that Joseph's faith and obedience is actually not inferior to that of Mary's.
耶稣他自己也宣布，凡遵行我天父旨意的人，就是我的弟兄姐妹和母亲了。
And Jesus says himself, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother.
如果我们，我说的是在座的，在场的，还是线上的，如果我们像约瑟一样，相信神的启示，遵行神的旨意，那我们也就是成为耶稣的家人了。
If we, those of us who are in person and online, like Joseph, place our faith in God's revelation and obey God's will, then we too are Jesus' family.
亲爱的弟兄姊妹，朋友家人们
，Dear brothers and sisters, friends and family，
我们大概不会说自己是完人。
We probably do not think that we are perfect。
但是我们都对自己是好人这个事儿深信不疑。
But we likely deeply believe that we are good people。
我想说的是，做好人是不够的。
What I want to share today is that it is not enough to be a good person。
做好事也是不足的。
It is not enough to simply do good deeds。
就像义人约瑟，他靠着自己的义。他在义中挣扎，他在律法当中挣扎。
Just as the just man Joseph wrestled and was conflicted in his own righteousness and through the law.
也就是说，他越是这样子，他越是远离神，越跟耶稣没有关系。
Meaning that the more he followed his own righteousness, the more he was straying away from God, the more he was going away from a relationship with Jesus.
我想圣诞带给我们的最重要的是什么呢？
So, you know, I believe, you know, what's the most important thing about Christmas?
超越我们自己的义
is to surpass our own goodness and our righteousness.
超越自己对好人的这个迷思
you know, surpass our own understanding of a good person.
而这呢，其实是需要神的介入，神的启示的
and understand that we need God's intervention and revelation.
如今神的启示已经给了我们
and now God has given us His revelation.
神已经是童女怀孕，神的启示已经。借着救主降生向我们彰显了
He has intervened through the virgin's conception and his revelation comes in the form of the incarnate savior
我们要做的就是凭着信心接受凭着信心去行
Our work is to receive it by faith and to walk by faith
使我们这些离神很远的人我们因着信可以与神亲近
So that we who were once far from God can by faith draw near to God
跟神原本没有关系的我们因信成为耶稣的家人
that we who were once not related to God at all that we can by faith become Jesus' family
而且我们彼此成为家人
and that we can all together become family with one another
我们一起祷告
let's pray together
亲爱的阿爸天父谢谢你将这最伟大的启示赐下来
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the greatest revelation that you have given us.
让我们知道，我们之所以能来到你的面前，不是靠着我们的义，也不是靠着我们遵行律法，也不是靠着我们是好人。
That we know that we can come before you not because of our own righteousness, not because we follow the law, and not because that we are good people.
我们是靠着神的启示。
But we lean on the revelation of God.
就是救主耶稣的降生。
And that's the incarnate Jesus Christ.
要将我们从罪恶当中救赎出来
who saved us from sin
让因为你应许你要救我们出来而且与我们同在
because it is your will to save us and to be with us
奉耶稣的名祷告
we pray all this in Jesus' name
Amen
Amen